When we talk about Shabbos, we talk about this almost transcendent block of time. It's a relic. It is this special, significant, sanctified area in time. And oftentimes when we think about this and we learn about it, we realize that there are parallels that emerge in the world of space that we become attuned to when we think about them. And that's going to be our focus today, to appreciate and understand a parallel that we know intuitively, and that is the parallel between Shabbos and Yerushalayim. On source number one, every Friday night, Rav Shlomo Alkavetz, the author of Lecha Dodi, he sings with us this poem. We greet the Shabbos Queen. We imagine we're outside in this field, somewhere near the hills, the mountains of Tzfat. We say, Lecha Dodi Likras Kala Pnei Shabbos Nekabla. We greet the Shabbos Queen. And we describe how Shabbos was given Shamor, you see his name, Shlomo, Shamor V'Zachor B'Dibur Echad. Shamor and Zachor, the two sides of the coin of Shabbos, were given with one command, the positive and the negative. Likras Shabbos L'chuvan Elcha, let's go greet the Shabbos Queen. And then we shift. Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha. The capital city, the sanctified place of the king. Kumi Tzi'i Mitoch HaFecha. Get up, emerge from desolation. Rav Lach Sheves Be'emek HaBacha. You shouldn't sit in the valley of tears any longer. V'hu Yachmol Alayachem Lach. Yerushalayim is personified like a woman, which is very common in Tanakh. The Ribbono Shel Olam will have compassion on you. Hisnari Me'ofar Kumi. Wake up. Lehitna'er. To wake up from your slumber. Get out of the dirt. Live she big day sifartech. You should wear beautiful clothing, which, by the way, is another discussion for another time about the idea of Yerushalayim as it relates to levushim, malbushim, clothing, which is interesting. So why is it that in Lecha Dodi, Rav Shlomo Alkavetz is weaving together these two themes of Shabbos and Yerushalayim? And I don't know if we paid close attention to this. Every time we bench on Shabbos, which we have a mitzvah to do because we have a mitzvah of washing and benching, we add what is called in halacha, the hazkara, the mention of me'ein hama'ora, the theme of the day. So what do we add for Shabbos, the theme of the day? That's right. Ritzeva achlitzenu. Well, ritzeva achlitzenu, it's about the theme of the day, so you would expect that it's going to be about Shabbos, which it is, but not exclusively. Look in the Nusach. Ritzeva achlitzenu, chilutz, like chalutz, is like give us strength. Ritzeva achlitzenu, it's not lehechaletz, like to extract. Lehechaletz, like chalutzim, like we should be strong. Ritzeva achlitzenu, give us strength on Shabbos. B'mitzvosecha, uv'mitzvas yom ha'shvi, on the seventh day, because this is a special day. Lishbo spo v'lanuach bo ba'ava. Shabbos is a b'china of ava. Also for another time, that we shouldn't have any sorrow, Rachmana Litzlan, on Shabbos. And then the last line, v'areinu Hashem Elokeinu b'nechama sioni recho v'nyan Yerushalayim irkachecha. Kiato u'vala yeshuol s'vala nechamos. And we should see the rebuilding of Jerusalem. What does that have to do with anything? Why do we put the binyan of Yerushalayim in the middle of Ritzei, which is talking about Shabbos? And finally, as a follow-up to this, which I was never sensitive to, but this is beautiful. There was a Heilige Hasidic master. He lived in Radomsk. His name was Rav Shlomo HaKohen Rabinowitz, which, by the way, many of the Rabbanim in Poland in the 19th century, their last name is Rabinowitz. Why is that? Exactly. It just means the son of the rabbi. And if you needed a last name and you were the dayan of the town, so you became Rabinowitz. So that's why it's very common to find in rabbinic literature, Rabinovich was a very, very common last name. So he's known as the Tiferet Shlomo the Radomsker, Reb Shlomo HaKohen of Radomsk. His last name was Rabinowitz. That's if you're going to search Reb Shlomo HaKohen Rabinowitz. So in the beautiful Sefer called Tiferet Shlomo, he makes an amazing diuk, which I never noticed. Most things I never noticed. He says, you see in the bottom section, he quotes this piece for this juxtaposition of Shabbos and Yerushalayim in Ritzei, in the davening. And then he says, Hainu, Im anu ponim ita'atenu kol tzara v'yogu v'yom ha-shabbos ha-yizei nizke v'hanchileinu. If we really embrace Shabbos, we're going to merit Yerushalayim. V'zez gam kein smichas hadvar. Listen to this, I never noticed this. Ha-poreis suka shalom aleinu v'al kol amo b'Yisrael v'al. And then what do we say? V'shamru. I never noticed that. The end of the bracha of Hashkivenu on Friday night, which is the bracha post Shema, before Shemona Esrei, that's the bracha of Geula. In the weekdays, it ends Shomer Amar Yisrael Laad, God should watch over us. On Friday night, it ends Hapore Suka Shalom Olinav Al Kalam Yisrael Ve'al Yerushalayim. Wait a second, during the weekdays, we didn't say Yerushalayim. On Shabbos, we say Yerushalayim. And, says the Radomsker, what do we flow right into after that? If you're not from the Nusach HaGra, because the Gra, Talmidim, they excise Vishamru, because they say it's an interposition, they say it's a hefsik. But the rest of us, what do we say? Vishamru. So he says, what is the connection to the Shalom of Yerushalayim and the Shalom of Shabbos? Lekach nismach zeh lezeh. Because we have both. And obviously the answer to all these questions is the same point, which is that Shabbos and Yerushalayim represent the same thing, the same idea. So what exactly is that idea? What is it that we're trying to express through Shabbos and Yerushalayim? So here's the first level. We're going to go through a couple of levels. Maybe let's talk about it on three levels. But I'm sure if you thought about it, you could come up with many more. Because there's probably Or Ein Sof here. There's so many deep, deep, deep ideas. But let's start with the first level. There is a Gemara in Zvachim. I'm telling you. It's right here. The Gemara in Zvachim, Adaf Kuf Yud Tes. It's discussing a very specific rule about building backyard bamos. A bama is a personal altar. So, in theory, at one time in Jewish history, there were people who were allowed, they were licensed to build a backyard altar and offer sacrifices. That was a thing. It is not a thing anymore, and the Gemara has a drasha to explain, once we came to Yerushalayim, we built a base of Mikdash, it's over. There's no more backyard bamas. If you want to bring a sacrifice, there's only one destination. Okay. So in that context, the Gemara has a line. The Gemara says, "Ki lo vasem ad ata." There's a beautiful pasuk. You have not arrived yet until this place, el hamenucha ve el hanachala. Until you have arrived at menucha, what is menucha? Rest. And what is nachala? What's that?
Enjoyment.
Nachala, enjoyment. But what kind of enjoyment? Nachala. Where is your nachala? Your inheritance, the place where you settle down. So menucha, you have rest. But nachala, you're really settled. Ki lo vasem ad ata el hamenucha v'la nachala. So the Gemara has a drasha. Ki lo vasem ad ata el hamenucha zu shilo. What was shilo? Right, the Mishkan. Exactly. When they came into Israel, the Nov, Givon, Shilo, they had the Mishkan. It rested there. You can go today. You go to say, you could see the excavations, the amazing things they have now. Amazing. We went once. They have, first of all, the shul that they built in the yeshiva, in the I forget if it was in the yeshuv there, it looks like they built it like to look like the Mishkan. Shilo, that's the Mishkan. So there was a place of the resting of Hashem's presence, of course, in the Mishkan. But that's not permanent. So that's referred to as menucha. When you go to the Mishkan, you go to see Eli HaKohen, you go to offer karbanos. That was menucha. But that's not yet nachala. That's not yet permanent rest that you feel like you're totally settled. Vahanachala, Nachla zu Yerushalayim. That's the Beis HaMikdash. But it's specifically, the Gemara says, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has the status, has the quality of Nachla. That's the first layer. Now, why is this significant? Because many, many months ago, we mentioned the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says, if a person observes Shabbos, Kol Meshamer Shabbos, the Gemara says toward the end of Shabbos, if you observe Shabbos and you really absorb it and you totally get into it, what do we get? Do you remember we get? Nachlas Yaakov Avinu. We get a Nachala. And that's what the Gemara says. It's called Nachala Beli Mitzarim. It is a Nachala without boundaries. Because Yaakov Avinu was told, you're going to be Yama, Kedma, Tzafona, Venegba, you're going to expand. There's not going to be any limits to Yaakov's Nachala. So at that time, we talked about it from a different perspective. What do we talk about from Yerushalayim? Ultimately, La'asad Lavo, it's going to be Prazos Teshiv. Yerushalayim is not going to have any limits. Shabbos and Yerushalayim, these two, Shabbos in time and Yerushalayim in space, are a Bechina of Nachala. What does it mean in this context, Nachala? On the first level, I would suggest, this is the level of Nachala, it's that the person feels settled. When a person got to offer a korban, when they were in the level of Shiloh, Shiloh was good. You felt like you were in the presence of Hashem. But there was always a little bit, there was this, a little bit of uncertainty. Why? You were waiting for the other shoe to drop. You knew this was not the destination. You came to Shiloh and it looked like, I mean, it was beautiful and it was amazing. It was Ashura Sashchina, but it looked like a homemade job. It wasn't a house, it was a tent. And everyone knew that wasn't the destination. So you're waiting. One day, everybody knew this was going to be replaced with something else. So you didn't feel that this was permanent. There was something subliminal. There was something subconscious of feeling like, I'm serving Hashem, but I'm not quite there. You come to Yerushalayim, and you know, that's it. This is my Nachala. And you could settle in. A person could feel that they're at home with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I think, based on so much of what we discussed over the past year, and it's hard to believe that we've been at this Shabbos project for now almost 8 months, when a person experiences Shabbos on a deep level, the Nachlas Yaakov, they feel that they've arrived at their destination. Kol Malachtecha Asuya, you don't feel the pressure of feeling unsettled that there are things that need to be taken care of. Because we feel that we have our Nachala. It's us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ani v'ata biyachad. And we can let go of everything else. Until you get to the point of Nachala, you can't let go because you're always feeling unsettled. And that is the first connection, the first level of commonality between Shabbos and Yerushalayim is the idea of Nachala, a feeling benachas, a feeling settled. I think this relates to the next level, which is a Gemara in Brachos, which relates to a pasuk that we're going to talk about in a little bit. The Gemara has a drasha about the word netzach. Netzach, excuse me, netzach is an attribute of Hashem. We've talked about this over the years, but I'm going to just resketch it very briefly to recharge our memory. We once did this on the board. Hashem, the way that, to the extent that we can understand it, the way that Hashem enables everything to exist is by bringing the light, the Or Ein Sof, the energy of Hashem, into the world through specific channels. And each of these channels of the energy of Hashem has a different quality, which is why we have polytechnic and a multicolored type of existence. So you have different musical notes and different colors of the rainbow and different days of the week. So the pattern in our world follows the number?
Seven.
Exactly. So the seven energies of Hashem that are coming into the world, they're arranged in three circles or three triangle shapes. There's the right side that represents a certain dominance. And then there's the left side, which represents more of a receptivity and a balancing. So on the right side, you're going to have Avraham. We talked about the Chesed. On your left side, you're going to have Yitzchak. And then in the middle, balancing that out. That's going to be your first triangle. Maybe some of you on your Seder plate had two triangles. Some of us. Some of us had two. Okay, if you don't follow the Kabbalah, so you're going to follow the other approach. But some of us had two triangles, if you follow the Kabbalah. So you're going to have the first triangle, the first circle. That's going to be your first three. Then your next three is going to be Moshe. That's what's called Netzach. We're going to come back to that in a second. Aaron, which is Hod. And then Yosef, which is Yesod. So Netzach is dominant, right side, forceful. Aaron is modulating, left side. That's Hod. And then the bottom is Yesod. That's Yosef, bringing the two together. And then at the bottom, we're going to have a seventh that's called Malchus, which we're going to talk about later this morning. But this pattern of number seven, this is the totality of our world. There are upper realms, the realms of the thought, that's beyond the physical world. That's the level of the ten. So there are two different ways of articulating that. But these are the energies that Hashem brings into the world. So this represents specific ideas, and these are expressed through the personalities. You know, when you find this in your sukkah. If you follow this pattern, you will invite Yosef to your sukkah on the sixth day, not in chronological order. Some of you will invite Yosef on the fourth day after Moshe, because you're going to follow the chronological order. But if you follow the Kabbalah, you're going to bring Yosef into your sukkah on the sixth day, which is why, because it's connected to the Yesod, the number six spot, which is why, for all the Gabbaim out there, if you ever have a Hasidish Rebbe who's a guest in your shul, you give him the sixth Aliyah, because it's the Bechina of the Tzaddik, of Yosef. So growing up, the Rebbe always got the sixth Aliyah in our shtibel, which is why we invite Yosef on the sixth night. So we had Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Then you had Moshe. Moshe is in which spot? The number four spot, which represents Netzach. What is the idea that is maybe closest associated with Moshe Rabbeinu? I kind of gave it away, just in his title. What, if you were to ask somebody, what is it that you associate Moshe with? What would that be?
Leadership.
What's that?
Leadership.
Leadership. Okay. We have many leaders over Jewish history, but what distinguished Moshe in all of Jewish history? Teaching what?
Torah.
Torah, exactly. Moshe Rabbeinu was synonymous with Torah. He had a sui generis level of nevuah. He was a distinct Navi because he was the Nosein HaTorah. And therefore, the Rambam points out, nobody else ever has the authority to come and say, I know better what Hashem wants us to do, how we should lead our life. I know better. You can't know better than Moshe. Moshe was the ultimate prophet, the ultimate Navi, and he told us this is the Torah. And therefore, if you say in the davening at the end, in the Siddur, you know what they put at the end of the Siddur in the morning? They put these 13 animamins based on the Rambam's principles. The animamins. One of those animamins is Shazos HaTorah. This Torah, Lo Sehe Muchlefes. It will never be substituted. Velo Sehe Torah Acheres. There will never be another Torah. Never be another Torah. The Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was distinct. That's one animamin. And the follow-up of that is that nobody can come along and say, oh, I'm going to change it. Because the Bechina of Netzach means
eternity.
Exactly. There's no such thing as changing something which is Netzach. Like, you know, the Aliyah movement in the 19th century was called the Neely movement. Why was it called the Neely movement? It stood for Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. The Netzach of Yisrael is permanent. Lo Yishaker. It will never be abrogated. God's destiny for us, and therefore we believe we're going to go back to Israel. That was the core of that. The idea of Netzach means It is permanent. It is fixed. The idea of Moshe, Moshe is fixed. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's the principle that carries the day in every circumstance, and in many respects, it's very inflexible. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is referred to the idea of Yikov Hadin Es Hahar. It means the law will bore through the mountain. In English, you would have an expression that says, come hell or high water. The rule of law will carry the day. That's in contrast to Aaron. Aaron is hod, is more negotiating and feeling and relating and subjective. And Aaron is oiv shalom v'rodiv shalom, and he makes pshara, all kinds of things, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. But Moshe is netzach. He brooks no compromise. It's kavua. It's fixed forever and ever. Says the Pri Tzadik, Reb Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. He writes this in a drush in Erev Yom Kippurim. Shabbos, what do you think he's going to say? Is keneged netzach. Shemoshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Moshe Rabbeinu was a merkava. He was the carrier. He was the chariot, the embodiment of netzach. The Shabbos hu chelek Moshe Rabbeinu. Shabbos is associated with Moshe Rabbeinu. As we say in the davening every week, Yismach Moshe b'manas kelko. Moshe is happy that we observe Shabbos because he initiated Shabbos. What do you mean he initiated Shabbos? We got Shabbos at Sinai, no? We got it at Marah, no? Well, says the Medrash, he quotes the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, of course we got Shabbos at Sinai. Vayar b'sivlosam, the Medrash says, Holach Moshe v'tikin lehem yom ha-Shabbos lenuach. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, and he said, you know, they need one day to rest. It's impossible to work people 7 days. It's hard to imagine, but even in a place like Ritzrayim, even in Mamish Gehenim, hell in this world, Auschwitz, they had one day a week where they didn't work. They didn't work on Sunday. Because even the lowest of the low realize, from a productivity standpoint, they're not going to get more out of these poor Jews. They make them work on Sunday. So Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, and he said, you're going to work them to death. They need one day off. Hu haya kavanaso al yom shekulo Shabbos. And therefore, what happened? Paro says, Beseder, so give him one day off. So Moshe said, I have an idea. It should be Saturday. Paro said, he probably said, Saturday, I don't know. It's college football, but okay, fine. Sheyu Yisrael ponim atzma rak lavodas Hashem Yisbarach, k'moshe haya b'midbar v'zeh haya chelko. This is why we say in the davening, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, because he had the idea that we should observe Shabbos even before anything else. Just on the most basic level, we got to take a break. So that's Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. So says the Pri Tzadik that Shabbos is a bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a bechina of Netzach. And this is the pshat. Shabbos is what we call in the Gemara kviya v'kaima. It is fixed. There's no negotiating about Shabbos. There's no negotiating. At that moment that the Ribbono Shel Olam drops the sun beneath the horizon, it's Shabbos, whether we're ready or not. Yontif, you can negotiate Yontif. Right? You can. You can come to the Beis Din and you say, this month, we need a cheshbon differently. We need to make an Iber Yar, so we're going to have an extra Adar because we're not ready for Pesach. I didn't have enough time to clean. The weather is bad. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they used to make cheshbonos. When to make Pesach? I wonder how much influence the women had on that cheshbon. When to make Pesach this year? Right? So the Gemara has all kinds of cheshbonos. You can cheshbon on Yontif. Atem. You make the yontif, but Shabbos, no. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Shabbos, it's kavua, it's netzach, it's fixed. And there's a certain harshness about that. Moshe Rabbeinu is associated with a certain harshness. What do you mean? I have a deal. The $10 billion bankruptcy, right? They're calling, they're hawking. Too bad. Too bad. Too bad. If it was another bechina, maybe then we could, but not on Shabbos, right? Shabbos is no negotiating. Shabbos is kviyah v'kaima. And there's no such thing. Of course, obviously, we observe Shabbos the best that we can, and we're not perfect, and we're trying. But there's no such thing as half Shabbos, right? That's like a colloquial joke. Shabbos is kviyah v'kaima. It's netzach. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu, which on the one hand, sometimes is harsh. It's harsh, and it's difficult on a physical level when you have somebody, lo aleinu, who lives in a faraway place, and maybe they're struggling, and maybe they're in the hospital, and you can't get in touch with them. And obviously, if it's pikuach nefesh, so pikuach nefesh. But if it's not exactly pikuach nefesh, it's hard to be in a place of nachla when that person, you can't call them. Right? It's Shabbos. So sometimes yikov adin ha-sahar is hard. But you know, without yikov adin ha-sahar, you know what you would have? You would have nothing. Everything would collapse. There would be no system. There would be no structure. You need a backbone of Netzach, you need a kviyah v'kaima that is there, that gives you that anchor to come back to, and that it's not a moving target all the time. The Rebbe Shalom says, you're going to have Yerushalayim Zeh Netzach. You don't have to wonder, where do I go? What's my destination? Is this really the place? Is it somewhere else? I'm sure for many people, if you were a farmer living in the Galil in some farm somewhere in Yokna'am, I don't even know where that is. I just remember seeing it on a sign somewhere in Israel thinking, I wonder who lives there. You know, it was probably hard for you to go to Yerushalayim for Aliyah LaRegel. You had to leave your whole farm, and the Rebbe Shalom has to give you a haftacha that no one's going to steal your stuff, no one's going to take everything away, no one's securing it. And you go to Yerushalayim three times a year, it was probably difficult. It was probably hard. I'm sure it was hard. Netzach is challenging. It's hard. It's not easy. Those people, they didn't have it easy. But it was that ability to come to Yerushalayim and let go of everything else and to be in a place where everybody was excited about Kedusha and the Kohanim were running around in their fancy shirts and pants telling everybody, come to the Beis HaMikdash. And everybody was privileged to the Hashuras Hashchina. How amazing was that? It's Netzach. It's not easy. But there's a security of that. There's a tremendous elevation if you get to that level to live on the scrutiny of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same inyan for Shabbos. I've mentioned this before. How my maternal grandfather, Zichron Levracha, Reb Chaim Baruch, originally Kovalenko, but when he came to America, became Koval. Cleveland. How he told me about getting fired from jobs and having to work in this market cleaning the shelves and cleaning the bathroom and stocking and like just to make $7 a week, he told me. It's not easy to live on the level of Netzach. It's not easy. It's not easy to come to Yerushalayim. V'kam tava Elisa. You have to go up to Yerushalayim. You have to go up. You have to struggle. But to live on that level of Netzach, what a gift. To let go of all the craziness of the week and to put away a cell phone and to say, now the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's us, that's the level of Netzach. And wow, how rewarding that is. It's difficult. Mi yala bahar Hashem. It's hard to go up to Yerushalayim. It's hard. But to live on that level once a week, wow, what a great bracha. So the first parallel between Shabbos and Yerushalayim is the Nachla, is the being settled. The second parallel is the Netzach. Is Netzach, that Shabbos is kviya v'kaima. It's fixed. There are no compromises. It's permanent. Just like Yerushalayim is permanent, you cannot have any other bechiras makom. It's permanent. And that permanent, that inflexibility, requires sacrifice and hard work and preparation and vulnerability to leave everything at home, to leave all of the worries of the weekday. But when you enter into that, you're living in the world of Netzach. And then the third element, the final element for today, and this is the biggest development. So turn to your source page, number 7. So this is a piece from a beautiful sefer called Tzion V'Oreha. For those who were with us at that time, you remember we quoted this sefer when we did our series on cities of Israel. I don't remember how many years ago that was, but whenever we did that, we quoted this sefer, because this sefer is a collection of teachings of Rav Moshe Wolfson, the great mashpia in Brooklyn, on cities in Israel. It's arranged according to cities. So he teaches us here a very fundamental yesod, which undergirds everything that we've been saying until now, with a very fundamental principle. I suspect that some of you probably have heard this principle before. This is a key, crucial, fundamental principle in Chassidus, in Machshava, in Kabbalah, that he's going to explain to us. He quotes it from the Sefer Yetzirah, which is one of the most ancient books. Yaduahu, it is known, Ma Shehishrish B'Sefer Yetzirah, that it is, Lahashrish means it is implanted in us from the Sefer Yetzirah. Shebara, skip the bracket, Shebara Habor Yisbarach Esabriya, God created the world Al Shalosh Bechinos. The word Bechina is difficult to translate. You could call it dimension or aspect. Three different ways in which the world are related. Shemak Bilos Zulazu, that are parallel to each other. Umash Yesh Bezu, Yesh Bezu. What you have in this, you have in this. The Elohein, and these are they. Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. This is the mnemonic Ashan. Ashan means cloud or smoke. Where Hashem appears in the world, it's in the Ashan. Klomar, second paragraph. Kol ma shetimtza bebriya sa'olam, bebriya ba'olam, everything you find that's created in the world, dahainu bechinas makom, that exists in place, in the realm of space, spatially, timtza, you will find, sheyesh oso davar mamish, you will find the same thing, bebriya, in the creation, gam bevechinas zman, also when it comes to time, vegam bevechinas nefesh, so too in the realm of a person. So it's space, time, and person. Let's give an example. Here we go. Dugma. Im timtza ba'olam. If you find in the world, makom, a place, shehu shoresh kol hakedushos, that is the source, the locus of all sanctity in the world, the holiest place in the world. Dahainu, what is that? Base, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sheba Beis HaMikdash, the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim inside the Beis HaMikdash, that point. Timtza Gam, Bizman, Bishana. You're going to find one day, which is the holiest of the holy day of the year. What do you think that's going to be? That's right, Yom Kippur. So Kodesh HaKadoshim in space is parallel to Yom HaKippurim in time. It's exactly it. Yom Shu Shoresh HaKadoshos HaKadushos VeKodesh HaKadoshim L'Chalaz Menim Yom HaKippurim VeYom HaKadosh Korim Osa. We call it the Holy Day. And how are you going to find where is the expression of this ultimate sanctity in a person? That's right. The Kohen Gadol. U'benefesh, in the person, Hu HaKohen HaGadol. And that's why it says about the Kohen Gadol, Vayavdel Aaron Lahakdisho Kodesh Kodashim Hu. So Yom Kippur is Kodesh Kodashim, the Kohen Gadol is Kodesh Kodashim, and of course the Kodesh Kodashim is exactly that. And that's why the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim goes into the Holy of Holies. Exactly that. It's a trifecta for those who are following in Mahjong, Highlight. Anyway, V'im, so now he says in the last paragraph, this is the key for us. V'im Kodesh HaKadoshim Hu Yom HaKippurim, which is Shabbat Shabbason, Nomar, we will say, She Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, He Bechinas Shabbos. Shabbos and Yerushalayim are the same. Because Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbason. It's the Shabbos of Shabboses, which means that Shabbos is the basic level of Yom HaKippurim. It's one step down. And Yerushalayim is one step down from the Beis HaMikdash. So Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to leave this one for today, the tzaddik of every generation are the bechina of the same idea. Shabbos and Yerushalayim represent the same inner idea. What does that mean? So on one level, Rabbi Zev Reichman, we've quoted this book before, The Introduction to Hasidic Thought and Flames of Faith. So he explains this idea that Shabbos contains within it the entirety of time. It encapsulates the other days and itself, while Jerusalem is a microcosm of the realm of place. All Shabbos is the portal through which, we're going to explain this in a minute, all the divine blessings come. All of the earth's blessings for the dimension of space flow to Jerusalem and forth. Jerusalem is an international city. All nations desire a foothold within her walls. Now, this is the key line. Just as Shabbos sanctifies every fiber of our feelings, so does Jerusalem. The holy city provides added strength and inspiration to every part of one's being. So Shabbos and Yerushalayim are parallel through a specific dimension, which we're going to introduce right now, and that is a concept called Malchus. We started by saying that in Lechadodi, we say Likras Shabbos, what are we greeting? Malka and Mikdash Melech, the place of the royalty. It's like the space and the time. So if you look in the bottom of source number 8, this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that we say every single day in Shemoneh Esrei is actually the hint to begin this conversation. Here we go. This is the key line. L'cha Hashem, start counting with me. Hagedula, 1. V'hagavura, 2. V'hatiferes, 3. V'hanetzach, 4. V'ahod, 5. Kichol b'ashamayim v'aretz, 6. L'cha Hashem ha'mamlacha, v'hamisnaseh l'cha l'rosh. So how many descriptions do we have here? We have 7. Gedula, gadol, is expansion, that's chesed. Gevura, we mentioned before. So now, you just noticed, we have our patterns, right? The two circles, the two triangles. Chesed, gevura, teferes, that's gedula, gevura, teferes. Netzach hod, and then kichol b'ashamayim v'aretz. Yesod is the collection of everything. And then what do we have after that? L'cha Hashem ha mamlacha. What is mamlacha? Malchus, royalty, kingship. Do you notice that in the pattern you have one circle, two circles, and then a standalone? Where does that come from in this pasuk? Do you notice a syntax, a subtle distinction? How do I know that this dimension of Malchus is qualitatively different, is standalone from the other two circles of 3 and 3? How do you see that in the text? What's that? Do you notice it? What's that?
He stops and he puts
Lecha. Yes! The Shama should have an Aliyah. She's looking down thinking, oh, my tochter, she's not tremendous Nachas. Right? Exactly what Shoshana said. You notice that the Pasuk puts another Lecha before the last attribute. The first Lecha was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then again, Lecha Hashem HaMamlacha. Why? We said this is a pattern of 7. When you open the Chumash and you talk about Shabbos, it doesn't always just say Yom HaShabbos. It's always coming back to Yom HaShvi. Yom HaShvi. Yom HaShvi. It's the seventh day. It's the seventh day. Who cares that it's the seventh day? I know how to count. Obviously. Sheish is Yom HaMasah Asah Hashem Asah Shemayim V'Sarets. V'Yom HaShvi. Shavas V'Yinofash. Al Kein Berach. Why do you care that it's the seventh day? Because it's all in this Nekuda, that the Shorish of Shabbos is in the concept of Malchus, the seventh attribute. And that this seventh attribute is not just the seventh of the seven. It's distinct from the other six. The other six are in two circles, but the seventh is standalone. It gets its own lacha. Why does it get its own lacha? Because it's qualitatively different. Over 20 years ago, my brother, who I'm very close to, my brother Yitzchak bought me this sefer. And I have continued to learn it and teach it and come back to it. It is a magnificent sefer about Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Malkasa, from Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Zichron Levracha. Rav Shimshon Pinkas was a prominent Rav and Mashpia in Israel. He was a Rav in Ofakim. And unfortunately, he passed away. He died in a car accident. And he was a young man. I think he was in his early 60s when he died in his car accident. Since then, many of his cassettes, remember what those were? Cassettes. They took them and they made them into Sfarim. And I'm not taking anything away from those. They're very wonderful and they're very nice. But they're nothing like his actual original Sfarim that he wrote. This is like dynamite. You'll notice, by the way, one of the differences is that those Sfarim are very long and these Sfarim are very short. The way he wrote them, they were very concise. His writing style was different than his speaking style. So he has a few Sfarim, and this is one of them. It's about Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Malkasa. And it begins, and it's all predicated on this Yisod about understanding what is Malchus. So he gives you, turn the page to, go to source 10. So he says, I'm going to explain this to you. I want you to understand the difference between the first six attributes of the way that Hashem relates to the world, what we call the six spheros, these emanations of God, and the seventh. He gives you, this is the core distinction. Ve'inyan, hine roim ba'olamenu, we see in our world, sheha bekoach, there is a difference between koach, what does the word koach mean? Strength, power. In this context, it means capacity, potential, what you can do. Shel kol davar veha befoal. What is befoal? What does befoal mean? Action, execution, follow through. Heim shnei inyanim. They are two different things. Hanivdolim zemizeh. He gives an example. Let's say you have a person. Hine ha'ish ha'nizkar. Let's say you imagine a guy. Hamolei v'gadosh b'midos na'alos. He has many great qualities. Let's say the person is very wealthy. So he has the potential to give a lot of tzedakah. The person feels a tremendous sense of justice. They have a very strong moral and ethical compass. So they want to fight for justice. And all kinds of things. Everybody has different qualities, right? Imagine. But you have a person who has this feeling of generosity. Aval ein bekocho ha'emtzayim lasos lohotzi midos aval befoal. Because, let's say, imagine this person is very generous, doesn't have endless funds. So they might be a very generous person, but if they don't have funds, they can't give tzedakah. So they have time. They can volunteer their time. What if they're, Rahman l'Islan, they're, you know, infirm. And they don't have the ability physically to help other people. So they might be very generous, be'etzem, but they can't manifest it. Person might be extremely generous, but they don't have the time because they're working three jobs. They have to support their family and they don't have the resources. So that generosity is never manifest in reality. It's difficult for that to be expressed. Or the person has a very strong sense of justice, but instead of becoming a lawyer or an attorney, they ended up becoming, you know, they couldn't become a judge or a policeman or work for the Justice Department. They ended up becoming, I don't know, an accountant or something like that. So they don't really have a way to express that quality. They have it, but they can't manifest it. Maybe somebody has a leadership quality, but they never are in a situation, they never put themselves in a situation where they can lead others. They're not a teacher or the shul president or the sisterhood committee chair. Like, they didn't work out for them, whatever reason. So they have it in them, but it's never actualized. It's never brought into the world.
That's never koach becoming befoal. So he says, but what happens if one day, vayhi hayom, and it becomes that day, umesuveves ha'ashgacha el yona, that God creates, shehu nase melech hamedina. You become the king or the queen. What happens now? What happens now to the person who had that tremendous koach of generosity? So what's going to happen? What do you think? What's going to happen now that they became the king or the queen? What's going to happen? What's that?
They'll actualize it.
That's right. Now they have endless funds, so they can actualize it. They become not just capable, but now they can execute on that feeling of justice. So they're going to make sure that there's law and order. They're going to lead. All the qualities that they have, now there's nothing stopping them. It's all going to come out in reality. That's what happens when you become the king or the queen. There's nothing stopping you. Everything that happened until now was your potential. But the idea of becoming the sovereign means you can actualize all your dreams. All those things that you wanted, you can now do it. You now can create a shilton, you can have chesed, you can have din, you can have all the things that you wanted to do in your life. You can cure cancer and end homelessness and all the things. You wanted to do those things, now you could do it. You can make a tomchei Shabbos and you can make a homeless shelter. You could do everything. Nothing's stopping you. So he says, that is what we mean when we talk about the midah of malchus. Second paragraph. V'zui b'china achas, this is one aspect, me'inyan midas ha'malchus hanuzkeres, in this pasuk. V'hu mi'yesodos ha'torah, it's one of the fundamentals of the Torah, sha'achas mi'bidos of Yisbarach, one of the qualities of Hashem, he midas ha'malchus. V'ze'ikar tachlis kol binyan ha'olam, she'tigole malchuso ba'olam. That God's malchus, his concrete execution, should be revealed in the world. Each of the days of the week relate to a koach. Sunday is the koach of chesed, of Avram Avinu, and Monday is the koach of Gevurah, of Yitzchak, and Tuesday is the koach of Tiferes, of Yaakov, and Wednesday is the koach of Moshe, of Netzach, and where are we holding? Thursday is the koach of Aaron, of Hod, and Friday is the koach of Yesod, of Yosef. But all those kochos, it's like being held in a storage tank. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding them in the tank. But what happens on Shabbos? We crank open the valve and everything comes through. The koach that's been held, that was created and brought into the world, is only manifest and executed through the mechina of malchus, the Yom HaShvi'i. That's the Chiddush. That's one Chiddush of Malchus. That's what Rav Pinkus explains. When you say, L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha, that's what you mean. So, all of these things that we want to see in the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates over the 6 days, they only become apparent when his presence is revealed on Shabbos. That's why, do you notice, that the seventh of the qualities, the Gemara, the Torah's Hanistar, they have a tradition that the concept of Malchus is a recipient, it's a conduit. It doesn't have any independent identity of its own. Right? There's a character to Chesed. There's a character to Gevurah. There's no character to Malchus, because Malchus is just a pipeline. It's just a conduit. It's what we call leis bei migarme klum. It doesn't have anything of its own. It's just letting it all become present. That's why David HaMelech is the seventh. It's the idea of Malchus, of bringing the honor of Hashem into all the different expressions of the world. That's why when you say Tehillim, David HaMelech, what is he doing? He's taking all of the seven emotions, the seven colors of the rainbow, the seven musical notes, and expressing them. David HaMelech is not inventing, he's expressing. Every person has seven emotions. You have six emotional koachs. So David HaMelech, with Tehillim, every Every emotional expression is found in Tehillim. He's bringing that out. He's not an innovator. He's a conduit. So Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha for the whole week. Shabbos is the source through which Hashem, on the deepest level, allows all of those energies of the week to come into the world. This is what he explains in the next chapter, which we don't have in the paper, but if you take a look in the Sefer, if you ever want to take a look at it, he says, this is all of a sudden the manifestation of everything that we had hoped for. Another way of saying it is like this. Imagine you made a wedding. You're going to make a wedding. So what do? You call a florist, so you buy flowers. You book a hall, you book a caterer, and you invite people. So you show up there, and it's beautiful, and it's decked out so nicely, and Baruch Hashem, now you only have to drive to Tui, you don't have to drive, so far away. It's amazing, you can make a wedding, you don't have to spend the whole night driving downtown or to the airport. It's awesome, great. So you show up to the wedding, and you have all the beautiful things, but what would happen if the bride didn't show up? Or if the groom didn't show up? So, what good is that? All the kochos of the 6 days of the week, Sunday is like the flowers, and Monday is like the band, and Tuesday is like the shmorg, and Wednesday is like the main, and then the guy's taking the coat check is the Thursday, and the person with the little passerby, the hors d'oeuvres, chevra, that's the Friday. But Shabbos, that's what it's all for. That's when everything comes together and becomes expressed in a meaningful reality. Without Malchus, it's like the whole week is like the wedding when there's no couple that showed up. At some point, you're looking around saying, why did we come out tonight dressed up? That's Malchus. Malchus is when it comes to fruition, when it has meaning. That is the Bechina of Malchus. That's the Bechina of Malchus in Zman. And Shabbos, Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha, Pasuk says in Tehillim Memches, Kiryas Melech Rav Yerushalayim. That's the place where Hashem's energy comes into the world in the realm of space. The Evan Shia Misham Shasa Olam, where did the Rosh Hashem create the world from? So the tradition is, he created the world from Yerushalayim, meaning all of the ideas of all the different places in Israel and all the places in the world all came through this expression of Malchus. That's why, where is the Malchus literally seated? You can only have the Malchus of Beis David in one physical capital, in Yerushalayim. There's no other legitimate place to have the political capital of the Jewish monarchy. It must be in Jerusalem. Why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling you, this is the expression, the physical manifestation of Malchus. When you see the king, when you see David, when you see Melech HaMashiach, it must mean to you the presence of Hashem in the world. It must mean that now in this place, the presence of Hashem showed up and everything has meaning. Everything that you had in theory in Bekoach comes out befoal. And there are other aspects of this idea of Malchus. These are a few layers. But now to realize that this is what Shabbos and Yerushalayim represent. It's that all of a sudden, all the things that we were doing during the week, in the rest of our lives, that all that wedding that we created, now it has meaning because the Ribbono Shel Olam is present. He was hiding all this time. He was Bekoach. Now he's befoal because he's the Melech. And the Melech, there's no stopping him. He's just everywhere. He's present. He's palpable. Now it has meaning. Yerushalayim is the place where Hashem says, this is where you go and you will feel the presence of Hashem. Lifnei Hashem. If you're in Yerushalayim, you are feeling that Lifnei Hashem. So many of us, even today, when we don't yet have the full Gilui of the Shechina and the Beis Hamikdash, we're not yet in Geula, you go to Yerushalayim, you feel something. You feel that presence of Hashem in many ways. And obviously there are many layers of this. Beis HaMikdash, Har HaBayis, V'chulei, all the way out to all the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael that emanates from there. But this is a Bechina of Shabbos. So to summarize, I'm sure there are many more, we just touched upon today three different layers of comparison, of commonality between Shabbos and Yerushalayim. The first was the level of Nachla, of feeling settled, a feeling like this is our destination. The second is the level of Netzach, that this is a standard that is Kaviyah V'Kaima, that we need to We need to be called upon to live up to that fixed, unwavering kedusha. That's the bechina of Netzach. Moshe Rabbeinu Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko. We got to live up to that standard. We got to go up to Yerushalayim. And the third, which is much more all-encompassing, is the Yom HaShvi'i. It's that bechina, that aspect of Malchus, that through Shabbos, through ceasing work for 25 hours, you take an entire unit of time and you say, it's all you, Hashem. I'm recognizing that everything that comes forth is from you. It's a space where the Kedusha of Hashem, the Shechina of Hashem, is let into the world. And it's an opportunity for us to embrace it. And the same way that we have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so that we can feel that presence of Hashem that is in that spatial dimension of Malchus and Yerushalayim, we are invited on Shabbos to feel that temporal presence of Hashem each and every week on the Yom HaShvi'i, on the day of Malchus, on Shabbos. Shekoach.